It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Hi, and welcome once again to the July 13th, 2018 edition of Valley Edition, Friday the 13th. I'm Kerry Bowling, your moderator for today's program. Our panelists today are Terry Snyder from The Citizen Lobbyist.
Hey, Terry. Hi, Kerry. Good to be here.
And Zaz Hollander, Anchorage Daily News. Hey, Zaz.
Hey, Kerry. Good to be here as well.
And also Philip Manning from KTNA Radio in Talkeetna.
Hey, Kerry. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Mike's away, so I'm just filling in here. So let's dive right into what's happening. And Zaz, why don't you start us off here?
Sure. I have been spending, yesterday I spent a few hours in Wasilla doing a little shopping as part of my always interesting job. Wasilla is has a new plastic bag ban that's in effect at the retailers in town, and it went into effect July 1st. So it's still fairly new, and people are still kind of discovering it. And so I just wanted to see how it was playing out, especially in light of a word that Anchorage's assembly is going to consider a bag ban for the municipality. I believe that ordinance is set to be introduced on Tuesday night at the next assembly meeting. And so at least in Wasilla, the way the ban looks, it looks different in different kind of big boxes. At Walmart and Target, you still can get plastic bags, but they are of a different thickness that complies with the thickness requirement in Wasilla's code. For other information or context, Palmer also approved a ban that doesn't go into effect until January, and their bag thickness is thicker than the one in Wasilla. And so it was kind of curious to go into... I went to Walmart the other day and you know, was without asking or being asked, was given a plastic bag, only one that seems even more plasticky. Mm. And the argument there is that these are defined now as reusable bags. They're thick enough that supporters of them say you can wash them and reuse them over 100 times. There is, I think, some... evidence that doesn't always happen. You know, if someone has a plastic bag, they may not go through the trouble of washing it. I used to wash my plastic bags back in my college days, and it's kind of a pain to dry them anyway. But at any rate, and so there are still plastic bags being used in Wasilla despite the ban, but at Walmart you pay 10 cents a bag, and that is ostensibly to discourage people from continuing to use them. You know, the goal here is that people use reusable bags and don't get new bags when they come to the store. Fred Meyer and Kars are not offering any plastic bags. Instead, you get paper. Mm. Huh. So it's like, back in the day when you used to go shopping and get all your groceries in paper bags. The reactions that I saw a lot of people bringing in their own bags, fabric bags, reusable bags. A few other people kind of complaining about having to pay for plastic bags. But most people seem to be dealing with it pretty well. I mean, it's not, if you shop at Walmart, there's not a lot of alternatives. So I don't think it's going to certainly drive people away from shopping at Walmart. I did hear from one retailer who said they'd had correspondence with one of their customers who said he is no longer shopping in Wasilla or Palmer. It's just over the principle of a bag ban. So he'll be going to Three Bears or Anchorage.
And so Three Bears has got no bag ban, or
they're part of them.
They have a location in Houston. Houston has not; it may be considering one, but they haven't yet. And so, otherwise, Three Bears is located in the borough, and the borough's efforts to regulate bags kind of fizzled so far, anyways.
Yeah, I heard Target was among those stores doing the same thing as Walmart. And have you gotten any feedback from the people that have really spearheaded this thing from this movement?
Well, the people who speared the Plastic Bag Committee of the Zero Waste Coalition, which almost sounds vaguely North Korean to me, I shouldn't say that, but they endorsed and worked with Pete LaFrance on Palmer's ordinance with the 4 mil thickness. So that's going to result in you know, plastic bags being legal, but an even thicker one. I think more like the kind you get at, well, if we had a Trader Joe, but the kind of stand-up bag with handles, I think. So a thicker, you know, more reusable, easily reusable, I suppose, bag. I mean, then, you know, not to diminish the Target and the Walmart, the new bags are, they're pretty sturdy. I mean, they're not the kind of bag that you're going to put some groceries in and they're going to tear. They're a pretty sturdy bag.
And you have to pay for them.
At Walmart, you do. Yeah. Target is not charging now, but I understand they plan to start charging, but they'll give you that 5 cent discount if you bring the bag back in.
Philip, is there any bag ban in the Talkeetna area up there? Any talk about that?
Not a lot of talk about it. As Zaz mentioned, the borough had an effort at some point to either charge for them or they can't outright ban them, but the effort to tax them basically kind of fizzled a few months ago. So right now there are folks being affected if they're going down into the valley to do their shopping and that sort of thing. But as far as Talkeetna itself, you do still see a fair number of those single-use plastic bags around.
Yeah, I think you're going to see an increasingly amount out of events. I know the Palmer Arden and Gart Fair this year. I know the city is going to be giving away reusable bags. I know AARP is going to be giving away reusable bags. So maybe as those come out, people will have more alternatives at their fingertips.
Yeah. Okay. So sounds like we got that one in the bag, so to speak.
It'll be a story for a while.
It'll
be interesting to see how it plays out in Anchorage too. Zaz, that could have some effect here. I mean, fewer and fewer places to go, especially with gas getting higher and higher, to hold that principle of not, you know, paying for a plastic bag or not using paper is going to get harder and harder.
Yeah, and the ordinance, if I understand it correctly, as proposed, is the main ordinance would have a 4 mil thickness standard, which is the same as what Palmer is going to apply.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a substitute ordinance that would bring that back to 2.25 mils, which is what Wasilla now has, and add a requirement that either paper or plastic bags, recyclable paper, reusable plastic, come with a 10-cent fee to discourage people from using them.
Interesting.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, that they've got different requirements for bag thickness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was the idea behind that? Was that some plastic bags can be reusable and some aren't?
Well, I think it's more this debate over what exactly defines a reusable bag.
Mm-hmm.
And this 2.25 standard is used in a lot of communities around the country. This is not, you know, big bad Wasilla trying to get around anything. It is sort of seen as the standard, but there are more, I think it's California communities, who have decided that's still not, most people don't reuse them, they say. And so it's that 4 mil standard that Palmer is going with it that more accurately kind of defines a reusable bag.
I see.
But it's thicker.
Well, it's going to get confusing. Everybody's going to be doing something different, so it'll just be easier to use your own reusable bag.
Yeah, it's not very consistent, is it? But maybe one will shake out.
Well, there was also legislation last year, state legislation, that just didn't get any love beyond the House. I think one committee it got, I think that was Representative Josephson, that wanted to do a statewide thing. And, you know, Hawaii's done a statewide thing, so it's not beyond to say that, you know, they won't, you know, step in at some point because there's enough cities that have done it. Pretty much what happened with the smoke-free workplace, although it took 5 years to get there, you know, that could happen too, I suppose, right?
Yeah. Okay, I just want to remind our listeners that this is Valley Edition, where we discuss issues relevant to the Matsu Valley, and I'm your host, Kerry Bowling, and my guests once again are Terry Snyder, Zaz Hollander, and Philip Manning. So let's go to Terry Snyder. Terry, what's kind of been percolating for you in the Valley here?
Well, what started percolating on Monday was, guess what, there's an election, and not just a November election, there's an October one in the borough. The filing period started officially for the city positions that are open, school board and assembly positions. I looked brief. The candidates could pick up their packets, and they have to be into them, I think, by 4:30 or 5:30 on the 27th. All varies a little bit by what office that you're applying for, Palmer, requires that you have a petition filled out with, I don't think it's a handful of names, some 15 names, and it's a pretty easy thing. Borough is a little more complicated. If you're going to spend some big bucks, you're going to have to go through APOC and that sort of thing. I looked briefly at the APOC report last night. There's a few challengers. Looks like Sarah Welton has a challenger right now for a school board position in Wasilla. And it looks like Assemblywoman Barbara Doty may have a challenger in her district. And there's a new person running for the vacated seat up by you, Philip, in Randall Kowalki's district, who's filed with APOC, along with George McKee is the only one that's filed for his own seat in three. But a lot of time yet. Those are people that wanted to get out early and get fundraising started, which they had to do. According to APOC, it costs a lot more money to do a borough race, seemingly, than it does a city race. So we won't really know until all those filing periods are over and what names are there. Then there's another kind of wait and see, as people have a certain amount of time to pull their name off the ballot if they don't want to run. So the silly season has officially begun. And, you know, that oftentimes in these big midterm and general election times, the borough election gets drowned out. But it's there and it's important. There's also some move, and Zaz, you may know about this, or perhaps Philip, there was a petition starting up by some people trying to move the election from the October date to meld it in with the general, and I don't know if that's gotten legs. Probably has a little more time to get completed, but I haven't heard any word of that. Have you, either of you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
I heard that there were folks wanting to do that, but I haven't heard much of an update as far as how far they've gotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a lot of signatures. I think they have to get about 3,000, 4,000 signatures to get it, so it needs to be seen.
To go on this year's ballot, they would have to get just shy of 3,000 signatures.
Right.
I know that because of a specific Talkeetna issue that we'll get into in a minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and the Assembly will probably... I don't think that they finalized, but they'll have to do it quickly, too, probably I know it's beginning of August at least, they'll have to finalize if they're going to put any bond issues on. And there's been a lot of talk about a road bond. I don't know that they've completely solidified that. So somebody who may know that as well, but I don't think the Assembly has officially passed anything yet. But there's still a little time, but not much. The door is closing.
And any advantage, disadvantage? What are the pros and cons of October having it a separate election as opposed to with the general election?
Well, there's pros and cons to it in my mind, and others might have another position. I like the fact, I mean, Anchorage has their municipal elections in April. It's the only thing going on. It's some challenging. It's a little harder to door knock in the winter, I think. And so October seems to be worked a little bit better for local, but the problem of it is in a big election year, you just get drowned and people just get over. They get confused as to what election is happening, and oftentimes the returns or the participation in the years where we have a big election, people are just burnt out and they don't actually turn out for that. And I think there's some argument for that. However, I think with the move towards a mail-in ballot, where people actually get that to their house, and Anchorage has now done successfully once and will again do to fill a vacant assembly seat, we're going in that direction. And that may make the date be a little less important as people, you know, actually can vote from their own house. So I don't know. What do other people think about that, the pros and cons?
I haven't really looked at it closely enough. Probably has an opinion.
What do you think, Philip?
As far as mail-in ballots go, I've heard some strong opinions both ways on it, and I think if it's something that you can verify and can do safely and make sure that things are legit, then I think it's a great idea. I don't know enough about it to know whether or not that's the case at this point, but I think in theory it could be a really good thing to increase voter turnout, which in municipal elections is something that's sorely needed.
Yeah. Well, we already have mail-in ballots, sort of, because we have absentee ballots. But I'm interested what people, what you think about moving the election, the pros and cons of that.
You know, the biggest argument against it I've heard, and I think I actually heard this from the borough clerk a year or two ago, is that they use the same.
Oh, that's right.
they're using the same machines that the state uses.
That's right.
And so if they're going to have both of those elections on the same day, they're not legally allowed to have the same ballot. So you would still end up with two different ballots, filing two separate ballots into the same machine on the same day. So I'm not sure how the logistics of that work out. Mm-hmm. But if there was a way to work around that, then maybe you could make it work. Say a mail-in ballot, something like that, might make that easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be determined.
Go ahead.
Yeah, to be determined. I think it's not, it'll be talked about for sure, and it'll be interesting to see what turnout is for this election. And it's also a matter of cost, because it's very expensive to do some elections in some districts, and those costs really escalate when it's a busy time and advertisers can make more money. So there's that too.
And then I see lots of signs for the statewide elections going up now.
Right, the primary will be in August. I think you'll start seeing those pop up pretty regularly now as we get closer to that primary, and that's going to determine a lot of interesting things. Here in Palmer, there's a pretty contentious two Republicans running for a House seat that could be interesting, how that rolls out, and some very interesting races in Anchorage too. So I think no matter what, there could be a very different face on the legislature this year. But again, have to wait and see.
Yeah, any propositions that are on the statewide ballot that you are aware of?
I'm not very up to date on that. I think there is the two salmon ones, sort of the protection of salmon habitat and the against that one. Philip may know more about that, or Zaz.
Yeah, no, those are the ones I'm aware of as well, is the Stand for Salmon, and then the group opposed to that has called themselves Stand for Alaskans, something like that. But yeah, no, there's the big ballot initiative that's being talked about right now is protection of salmon habitat throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the folks up here are involved in spearheading that effort. So.
Well, the returns on salmons have been pretty bleak, so I'm sure it's getting a lot of
yes,
interest.
They have.
All except, I think, out in Bristol Bay. I think Bristol Bay's been doing okay. But in the Valley, and all over the rest of the state, it seems like they're pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
For you listeners that are out there tuning in late, this is Valley Edition. I'm Kerry Bowling, and my guests, once again, are Terry Snyder, Zaz Hollander, and Philip Manning. And Philip, what's going on up in Talkeetna these days?
Well, we are neck deep in tourism season right now. Climbing season on Denali, at least, is officially over. There are no teams left on the mountain, no rangers left on the mountain. The Chinooks came in yesterday and took the rest of the National Park Service's gear off the mountain. And of note is that on Denali, there are still some folks elsewhere in the range, but now that climbing season is done on Denali, there were no fatalities this year, either medical or climbing related, which is, I've been told, the first time in 15 years that's happened.
Wow.
So a little bit of a knock-on-wood moment, since there are definitely still folks out there in the Alaska range. But so that was big news here in Talkeetna. Otherwise, other things related to the borough election, like Terry was talking about, there is an effort. There are two petitions right now that are out there regarding Talkeetna's new sales tax.
Mm.
There's a petition to repeal it entirely, and there's a petition to amend it and turn it into a seasonal sales tax that excludes utilities. And I've been told that the sponsor of the latter, the amendment, didn't get enough support, didn't get enough folks to help gather signatures, and is kind of going to let that one coast, maybe. But as far as the repeal effort goes, I haven't heard what their numbers are like, but due to the fact that they've got to get everything finalized by the first week of August, I think it's August 2nd is when the ballot has to be mm-hmm. finalized, they have to have all their signatures in by the 24th, which is the second to last Tuesday of July.
Mm.
And I don't know how close they are to that. Now, technically, it's a 90-day period to do that, but the election kind of puts an extra crimp on that.
So, Philip, is it when they're gathering signatures, is it it's just for the from the Talkeetna area, or is it based on the population of the whole borough?
Well, it turns out it's based on the population of the whole borough. I had a conversation with the borough clerk, Lonnie McKechnie, and the borough attorney, Nick Spiropoulos, not long ago about what it was going to take in order to get this on the ballot and to vote for it. And there were a couple of Alaska Supreme Court cases that, in the borough attorney's mind, mean this has to be a borough-wide vote. So initially, it was a vote amongst the 200-odd people who live in the Talkeetna Sewer and Water District to impose the sales tax. Now, to repeal it or amend it, it's going to be a borough-wide vote. So it's that same 3,000 signature hurdle that, you were talking about earlier. Mm.
Have you heard how they're doing in collecting signatures?
Not in the last few days, at least. But that's a pretty high bar to get over. I do know that they've got some help. The repeal folks have gotten help from folks outside of the Talkeetna area. I know I recognize a couple names from down in Willow, like Doyle Holmes, who is going to be running for the legislature as an independent, even though he's the chair of the District 10 GOP.
So. Interesting.
Well, interesting. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they get enough to do that. That's a tall hill.
I would be surprised if they did. But I mean, the folks who are sponsoring it are business owners, so they have a lot of folks coming through. I don't know how many of those are Valley residents necessarily, but yeah.
You talked about the climbing season. That's good, all great news for us. What does the tourist season look like up there? Do you look like you're on par? Did they have as many climbers as they normal do? Does it? I know you're in the thick of it, so it always looks like it's roaring. But what is your feeling about that?
Sure. Climbing season was fairly normal as far as numbers go. It was about 1,100. Mm-hmm. And normally that's somewhere between, 1,000 and 1,200 is what we expect. So right in the ballpark there. As far as tourism season goes, anecdotally, I had heard that the season was starting off kind of slow. There weren't necessarily as many people coming through. But I think that's probably changed now. And people I've been talking to lately say that, any business you walk into on Main Street in Talkeetna, everything is going to be pretty much slammed on any given day.
Hmm. Well, weather sure helps that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Any other, just open it up to everybody here, any other particular topics y'all are interested in or hearing about? I know before the program, Phil, you were talking about, I asked you about any flooding in Talkeetna, and you were saying that's not really happening, but it's happening maybe upstream from you guys?
Yeah, no, it's happening out to the west of us here in Talkeetna. The Yentna River has been flooding for the last few days, and I didn't check to see if they extended that flood advisory again, but there have been reports of debris floating down as far down as the Deshka. So, and the Deshka is a very popular fishing river. So, if folks are going to be out this weekend and doing any sort of fishing, maybe be aware that there might be things floating down the river that are coming from the Yentna. Outside of that, the ever-present sewer and water issues here in Talkeetna, which are regular listeners will have probably heard me talk about before. The borough is now in the process of getting loans in place to upgrade Talkeetna's sewer lagoon, which was once again out of compliance this summer. So it's going to be some changes coming there to the tune of about $2.5 million, it sounds like.
Wow.
To be paid for mostly by that new sales tax.
I see.
Yeah, Palmer's just finished the completion of their overhaul of their wastewater treatment, or they're just about done, or in the final stages of it, and they're waiting for EPA testing, too. But those are big, expensive projects, that's for sure. So what about flooding in the down here on this end of the valley, Zoss? Have you heard any? I've seen a few things on Facebook. It's pretty high.
Yeah, I saw Jim Sykes had posted something. I tried to check in with planners down here, and it sounds like right now, I mean, it's the usual unfortunate, summer high, Matanuska River, eroding its banks. in Butte, and the same issue came up last summer, and Jim kind of raised some red flags there as well, but it's right up against that, whatever it was, I got the number last year, I can't remember if it's 1 or 2 million, the rock trench that DOT put into it as an emergency repair with emergency funding approved by the governor to protect the Old Glenn Highway. And, you know, if the water really comes up on it, it's possible that rock trench could get kind of undermined. And that's not happening right now, but I think it continues to be a concern. And so, yeah, if you go down to the river, you can see, I mean, it's big. And it's, you know, there's sometimes a little bit of a delay even when the rain stops and there's still runoff happening just in snow melt as well. So I haven't checked the CFS and today, so I'm not sure where the river's running, but it certainly has been high.
What was your feeling? It seemed like we got through the 4th of July holiday with, there certainly were some accidents, but it seemed like the fire danger seems to have gotten better, or, you know, not as prevalent anyway. Did it seem like EMS was really hopping this weekend, or was it relatively quiet or over the holiday weekend? It's kind of spread out.
I was in New Jersey for the holiday weekend.
So
it was loud there, a lot of fireworks. You could see them.
Yeah, I was in Big Lake, and it really wasn't very good. There was a little bit of it, but not nearly as much as I had feared.
You're certainly right on the fire danger, Terry. And the forestry is actually sending crews down to the lower 48 because our fire season has been so quiet.
Well, that's good news, too, all around. With all the spruce beetle kill.
Yeah, it's really
kind of frightening. You have a lot of that in Talkeetna, too, right, Philip?
Yeah, we have a lot of it here in this area, and especially as you get up toward Trapper Creek going up the Parks Highway, you know, north of Mile 100, you definitely notice it going up that way. But there's a lot here in Talkeetna as well. There are a few businesses here in downtown Talkeetna that have lost a lot of trees, and some more that are going to come down once the beetle season kind of gets into its cycle and they're able to cut down those trees safely again. Talkeetna is going to look a fair bit different after all the dead trees come down.
Wow. That's too bad.
Well, on that note,
you've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.